morning to each one of you. Appreciate your attendance. Appreciate those who are visiting with us, and Rick and the rest of the men who led our worship this morning. It's so good to be able to be in the presence of one another, and certainly our most high God. Before we enter our lesson today, let us bow for a word of prayer. Holy God, we come to you and bow before you at this time. Just ask your blessing on our time of study and searching the scriptures. We pray that we come away from this day closer to you, better prepared to face the challenges of this world, as well as prepared for heaven. Father, we are mindful of the hymns that we have sang this morning, of that eternal home, and that we are on a journey. And Father, we pray that we will continue to be faithful all the days of our life. Father, we know that we face trials and tribulations, and Father, we just ask for your divine strength. Father, we thank you that you have provided the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, to help with our sin problem and to be able to give us that hope of eternal life. We thank you for the church, and Father, we just pray you continue to nurture it and bless it and help it to grow and reach out in the world that we live in. And Father, we pray as your workers that we will be diligent in doing your will and following your commands. Father, we just thank you for the avenue of prayer. We thank you for who you are. And Father, we entrust all these things to your care and pray that you continue to answer us as you see fit and that meets your will. Thank you so much again for your Son, Jesus. It's his name we pray. Amen. A mountain climber was telling the story of a time when he and a group decided to climb some mountains in Europe. As he relayed the story, he made the point that their goal was to summit the peak of one of the great mountains. But in that journey, as they went and struggled and faced the various trials of mountain climbing, he relayed that on the sunny days, the clear days, that their group made a lot of progress. The sunny days often brought a cheerful attitude, that there was a certain demeanor about each one of them that was focused on the goal when they saw the peak. But he also relayed that there was some days that when it was cloudy, there may have been a storm, they may have been a little bit colder than usual, and he noticed that during those times, the group moved slower. It was a little more discouraging. They were blue, we might say, in their attitude, depressed, and sometimes tempers were short. As I heard this story relating about mountain climbing, I couldn't help but think how it relates to our series of lessons that we've been looking at of running the Christian race. You and I, as we live the Christian race, know that there are certain days that are better than others. There are some days where we feel that our spirituality is good, our faith is strong, and in one way of the word, we could say we can move mountains and conquer mountains. Things are going well. But other days, our pace and our spiritual walk is a little bit slower. We're maybe a little bit more discouraged. We may even question our faith. And it is out of this attitude comes a series of lessons. Because we do, as we live in this world, get discouraged. We do need that motivation to be reminded to continue in the Christian race. There is that idea that we need to be reminded in Scripture of our goal of heaven and keeping our eyes on the Savior. As we conclude this series, we want to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter again, notice what the passage says in regarding to running the Christian race. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility with sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. The Hebrew writer is reminding us that we sometimes do get weary, But we need to look to Jesus, and we need to look to others and be reminded that we are in this race and continue to endure. This morning, we want to look at three ways that help us to finish that Christian race and to finish it well. Number one, notice Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. We need to run like people of faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 states, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses." To understand who he is talking about, you need to look at chapter 11. And there's chapter 11 that tells us about those examples of people of faith. Sometimes we call this the Faith Hall of Fame. As you look through chapter 11, you encounter various individuals such as Abel and Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Rahab, and the list goes on and on. Some people of faith weren't even mentioned, but are just described by the ordeals that they experience in this life. And so the Hebrew writer reminds us that these are our great cloud of witnesses. These are the people of our examples to us. In the ancient games, I'm told that an athlete would strive with double effort if he knew that a stadium of famous Olympic athletes was there to watch him. So it is with a Christian. We should strive harder to win the Christian race when we know that there are others cheering us on, anticipating and watching and hoping that we continue in the race. As we look over this list in chapter 11, we know something kind of interesting about these individuals. There's not a perfect one listed. Each one had their flaws and hang-ups and made their mistakes and their sins. And yet, as we look at their life, we see that it was an accumulation of their faith that grew and matured. I always think about Abraham. Abraham didn't start out as the great man of faith that we know him by the time of Hebrews 11. But if you look at his life, you see that he had a growing faith, that he didn't start out where he ended in his faith walk. And so as we look at this hall of fame of faith, we recall that their trust and perseverance, their faith, their hope in the face of various trials in Almighty God. We're reminded that they focused on that better country, that city prepared by God. They focused on something better. But as we look at these individuals and as we just see that the Hebrew writer makes mention of them, we see that their story from the Old Testament comes alive. We realize that as we read and study about them in the Old Testament, that they had a goal, they had a purpose as they endured those various trials. They become examples to us. Because not every one of us experienced life in the same way, neither did these people in Hebrews chapter 11. There were those who were very faithful in their worship, and it was frowned upon by others, even in their own family. And think about Abel and Cain. There were those who stood against the crowds. We think about Noah, and he and just his family, eight and all, stood against the popular norm of what was going on, and only he was considered righteous in his generation. And the list could go on of how their faithfulness faced various circumstances. And the Hebrew writer over in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39, reminds us, "We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved." He's a reminder to encourage us to look at those who've gone before us, that we don't shrink back. We don't go reverse. We go forward despite the cost, despite the challenges. Again, Hebrews 12, verse 1 is a reminder that the cloud of witnesses ran before us. And if they could overcome, so can we. We do not have to be bogged down and discouraged by all the things that comes to us in this world. Just as they overcame, so can we. See, we're not running the Christian race alone. There has been people who ran this before. There is people of faith who encountered trials and struggles, and they overcame. Their example is our encouragement. But as we look at this cloud of witnesses, we do not have to go to the ancient pages of the Old Testament alone to see the encouragement that these individuals give us. We can also think about those who are in our history, in our minds, who are heroes of faith. We can find them today. How many times have I sat down with a member of a congregation and they begin talking about a faithful individual? Maybe it was an elder, or maybe it was a preacher, or maybe it was just that faithful saint, that lady who was just always there and always involved. These are the people who have gone on and met their reward, but they are encouragement to us. Their story lives on, their example lives on, and we still talk about them today. Not only those faithful men and women who stayed faithful to death, but think about those in our assembly today who are enduring, who with all the challenges of our culture, who all the challenges of family life and work life, they continue. And they're sitting here, and they're sitting beside us, and they're encouraging you and I to continue in the Christian ranks. Oh, it may not always be verbalized, it may not always be proclaimed, but by their example and their stamina and their endurance, they're an example to you and I. As we think about how we stay in this Christian race and finish well, one of the ways that the Hebrew writer reminds us is, remember the cloud of witnesses. Remember those faithful individuals in Scripture. Remember those faithful individuals that you and I have known and that we still speak of today. And remember those who are encouraging us, the ones that may be sitting beside us today. You know, as we read this text, it reminds us that sometimes, however, problems cannot keep, all those problems can be solved by just watching other individuals. Sometimes you and I run the Christian race and we encounter other problems. Notice what it says as we read the rest of Hebrews chapter 1. Let us throw off everything that hinders the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Not only do we need to run like those faithful people of old, but we need to run without the weight of sin. The picture is described here of a long-distance runner as a marathon runner, but throwing off those things that might hinder them. I know in modern days that there are those runners, there are those athletes who practice with weights. And yet when it comes to race day, they throw those things off. There are a number of things that could hinder a runner or any athlete as they are in the game. And so it is that the Hebrew writer uses this illustration to remind us that we need to throw those things off. Because just like a runner can be hindered by weight and other things that can so easily entangle them in a race and prevent them from running and even winning a race, there are things that you and I need to throw off as well. There are those things that can keep us from doing our best for Christ and doing His will. It reminds us that we need to throw the weight of sin off. The Bible is very clear when it comes to what sin is. And time wouldn't allow us to look at all the list of sins that are mentioned in Scripture. But if you have your Bibles, do want to look at one such list over in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, notice what it says in regard to some of the sins that you and I may need to throw off. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 25. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouths, but what is good for necessity, edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit or God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Notice that Paul here in Ephesians chapter 4 reminds us there are some things that we need to put off. There are some things we need to lay down. Notice some of the vices that he is reminding us to throw off. He reminds us of falsehood. We need to stop lying. Stop telling falsehoods and tell the truth. He goes on and says that maybe some of them need to stop being angry and just continue to allow it to build up in bitterness. It is a fact that anger is a human emotion. And the Bible has a lot to deal and talk about it. But the idea is that we're not to allow it to fester and cause us and lead us into sin. In fact, what he is telling us here is we need to deal with our anger. It's not something we just allow it to go without control. And then he goes on and gives instruction. There might be those who are stealing. Stop stealing. Work with your hands and give to the poor. Then he turns to something that is very relevant today. How we use our tongues, our language. Do you need to stop using bad language? I don't have to give a detailed description of what bad language is. Unfortunately, here it's too common as we interact with individuals each and every day. But the Apostle Paul reminds us that God expects us a better way to use our words. So stop using bad language. That might be something we need to throw off. And then he goes on and talks about bitterness or slander. These are some of the things that we need to deal with and be able to have self-control in our life. And things that can prevent us from running the Christian race. See, sin will slow us down. In fact, it will more than slow us down. It's dead weight. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it reminds us that the wages of sin is death. It will prevent us from running the Christian race. If we are tangled up in the snares of sinful living, it'll cause us to take our eyes off the prize. It'll cause us to take our eyes off the goal. Oh yes, sin is pleasing for a moment. It is pleasant for a moment, but the end, it leads to death. Notice Romans 8 and verse 13. It teaches us, for if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Life works best when we're living for God, when we are not entangled, encumbered, hindered by the weight of sin. And the Bible reminds us what sin is. You know, sometimes we get so preoccupied with the wrong things in life. We sometimes major in minors and we look at our situation when it should be our hearts that need change. And too many times we go in the wrong direction. Too many times we dive into the sin. Too many times we carry our hindrance with us and wonder why we're not making any more progress. Well, the Hebrew writer reminds us we need to throw those things off. But not only throw those things off, but look again. He reminds us that we need to endure. Not only do we need to throw things off, but we need to endure. Let us run with endurance the race is set before us. We live in a day and time that doesn't like enduring. We live in a day and time where the culture is, it's easy come and easy go. We want our food quickly. We want to go to fast food restaurants. We have microwaves and that we put in a meal and put it in for 1 minute and we're stomping our feet. Why isn't it done quicker? We live in such a culture that we're not very well enduring. And that's exactly what the Bible reminds us in the Christian race we need to endure. Too many have given up on the Christian race because it is too hard. It's day-to-day routine, and they can't endure. We live in a culture that doesn't like endurance. I was told of a Bible professor. He gave his students some scripture with from the Gospel of Mark to preach on. And one student looked at the text and read it and then said, "Can I have another one?" The professor said, "What's the matter with that one?" "Well, I read it and I just don't feel anything." The professor said, "Well, take it home and get to feeling something because that's the assignment." Too many times we don't do things because it doesn't feel good. Haven't you heard the excuses? How do you feel about reading your Bible, we might ask. "Well, I don't feel like it. I don't want to." Or, weren't you at church? "Well, I didn't feel like it." "And why did you cheat on your spouse or lie to your boss?" "Well, the answer, because I just felt like it." Most people want the reward up front. They want to feel good about it. But this is Elijah's challenge in the Christian race. As it's compared to a marathon race, sometimes it doesn't feel good. Sometimes it is grueling. Sometimes it is challenging. But that is the very thing that the Bible reminds us, endure through the pain. Do the hard work. Move forward. You know what makes the world go around? It's endurance. You know what makes the church operate? Bible class functioning, our preacher preaching, our elders shepherding, the Lord's work being done. Keep doing, it's moving forward, it's endurance. It's daily throwing off the weights of sin. Yes, sometimes it's boring. Sometimes it's discouraging. And sometimes people don't always get their way, but the Bible reminds us, endure. Continue on. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 11:28. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. If you read that list, we see that the Apostle Paul went through many trials and tribulations. He was stoned. He was beaten. He faced starvation and shipwrecks, and the list goes on and on. And yet he endured. If our Christianity was put to that test, would we endure? Too many times we're giving up on Christianity just because of the word no. And yet the Apostle Paul went through physical and emotional trials. He was put into prison. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was abandoned. There were those who disowned him, and yet he endured. Ask any missionary today, and they'll tell you. Many are in very difficult places, and many years go by and no converts. One missionary who I was acquainted with was in a very difficult mission field in the Middle East some years ago, and he wrote in his journal, he was a missionary, if nothing else, in prayer. The Christian race can be very difficult, but the Hebrew writer reminds us, throw off the weight of sin, endure, stay in there, keep going. The race isn't easy. But the reward is out of this world. Keep going. And notice in verses 2 through 3 how he encourages us to continue to run the race. We are to run with Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. And there it is. The supreme and best example to our faith is not Abraham, is not Moses, or Joshua. Although they are examples and have many life lessons that we can learn and we can gain encouragement and we can be able to continue in the Christian race because of their example, the greatest example is Jesus Christ himself. Here the Hebrew writer reminds us he endured, there's that word again, the cross. As difficult and as hard as you and I may have experienced life, have you had to endure a cross? So many times we give up on the cross. So many times we give up on the Christian faith just because, again, someone told me no. Or I didn't like what I heard. Or I didn't like what they... Have you endured a cross? Have you had the challenge of what Jesus went through by being mocked and spit upon and ridiculed and then scourged and then crucified on the cross? The Hebrew writer says he endured. What an example. And what an example as he endured that, because we are to look to him as our model to how to run the race. He is the model. He is the one out front. He is the pioneer. He is the forerunner. The way we are to live. It's our turn now. It's our turn to run the race. It's our turn to live the Christian life. It's our turn to love and serve and faithfully speak and truth and pray daily and study God's word. And we look to Jesus. We must keep our eyes on him. Well, someone might ask the question, well, how am I to do that? How am I to keep my eyes on Jesus? Well, here are some suggestions. First of all, we need to realize that Jesus conquered the shame of the cross by continuing. You will never endure, nor I, without continuing. No matter how steep the path, no matter how rocky the road, no matter how difficult life is, we press forward. We endure by continuing. We must continue the Christian race and press forward. Yes, there are difficulties, but notice Philippians 3. Verse 14, Paul is writing again, and we talked about this in the weeks past, from prison. And yet he says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He's pressing forward despite his circumstances. Despite the things aren't going real well in his physical life, he's pressing forward. Then notice James 1 and verse 12. In James verse 1 and verse 12, it said, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Notice it doesn't say that just gets by easily and through life that is unscathed. No, perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love them. Notice the reward comes to those who persevere. Those who stand the tests, the trials. The reward is not for the weakling, the fearful of heart, the one that shies away, the one who complains and criticizes and runs away. It is one who stays in the race. And so if we want to be like Jesus and fixing our eyes on him, we need to continue as he continued. But number two, follow Christ's example in his teachings. If we are to run the Christian race, we need to finish the life of race by following his teachings. You know, that's why we study the Bible. That's why we've gathered here on the Lord's Day and whenever opportunities present themselves to study his word, to focus our minds and our attitudes and be corrected and rebuked and challenged so that we can understand what that goal is and what it means and be reminded. You know, when the apostles spent time with Jesus, those around understood that they were different because they had spent time with Jesus. Can the world know that you're different, that I'm different, because we're spending time with the Lord in prayer and in worship and Bible study? If we're to finish the race, we need to follow Jesus' example and his teachings and studying his word. But number three, we need to focus on Christ's love for people. Don't you like the way that Jesus loved people? He fed the 4,000 and 5,000. He touched the untouchable by those healing those who had leprosy. He raised the dead. He associated with the lowly, the outcast, and yet with the rich and the famous, we might say. Jesus interacted with everyone. Don't you like the way that Jesus loves people? And if we are to run the Christian race and fix our eyes upon him, one of the things that we should strive to do is love people like he loved people. Remember John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loves people. Jesus loves people. We should love people. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1, Hebrews says, let the love of the brethren continue. We must be about loving people as Jesus loved people. Interacting with them and caring for them. And someone has said, people will not care what we know until they know how much we care. How true. And so if we want to stay in the race, we need to care for people like Jesus cared for people. But number four, remember Jesus alive today. Later on in Hebrews, again in Hebrews 13, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is alive. He is well. Colossians 1 and verse 15 reminds us of the supremacy of Christ. There is no one like him or nothing better. Jesus is worthy to be followed. He is alive. He is well. We have a living Savior. Isn't that what we sing? I serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is able. He lives. He lives, we sometimes sing. Jesus is alive. He died for the church and was raised from the grave, Acts 20 and 28 reminds us. And he sits at the right hand of God and offers help in our time of need. He offers mercy and grace. In Hebrews 4 and verse 16, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus Christ is alive. He is well. He is our help in present danger. His example, and not only his example, but him living, reminds us that we can press forward. We can focus on him, and we can overcome. Despite what might happen to our bodies, despite what happened to our finances, despite what might happen to any physical thing that you and I have, if we focus our eyes on Jesus, we can overcome this world, and be able to dwell with him one day. The question might come at this point, what happens if I take my eyes off of Jesus? The Hebrew writer is reminding us, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, encouraging to continue. He goes on by saying, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You know, it's when we get discouraged, we cannot take our eyes off of the goal. Like those mountain climbers took their eyes off the goal of the peak of the mountain they were reaching when it was dark and gray. Things got discouraging. What happens when the church takes her eyes off of Christ? Well, maybe I can make this illustration. In the 2018 statistics for distracted driving, which go back as what they have is 2015, so that's as current as they can get. And they said, compiled by the Department of Transportation, over 3,477 people died and distracted driving accidents, and over 391,000 were injured in distracted driving accidents. There's a lot of talk about distracted driving, and as terrible as these fatalities and injuries are, if we take our eyes off of Jesus, it's far greater. For what we don't lose, not just our physical life, but our spiritual life. And as far as I know, there are those in the New Testament took their eyes off of Christ. Just ask yourself, where are they today? You think about so many of the congregations in the New Testament. Where are they today? All populations change, I'm sure, and various natural disasters hit certain areas. But for those cities that are still in existence today, there is sometimes no congregation there unless there's one been replanted, for example, in Jerusalem. So many times the New Testament congregations took their eyes off of Christ. The congregation died. That serves as a warning for us today. Because if the congregations who knew the apostles, who knew those New Testament individuals that we think so highly of, and yet they drifted away and they took their eyes off, can't we? The Bible reminds us in Matthew 16 and 18 that the church will never die, but congregations can and do. And congregations can be harmed and hurt and fall away. And so we need to be reminded, keep our eyes on Christ. It's when we are distracted that our souls are discouraged. It is when we take our eyes off of him that we leave the highway of the direction to heaven. And so we must guard against. We must rise above our doubts, our fears, and our problems, and devote ourselves anew, again, to Christ. Let's keep our focus on Christ. As we conclude this series, as we come to the final lesson for now on running the Christian race, may we not give up on the Christian race, but may we finish well. And to do that, we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Love as he loved. Do what he did. Remember his teachings and remember how he interacted and what he sacrificed for you and I. Several years ago, maybe you remember, the Olympics were held in Barcelona, Spain, and the world saw one of the greatest moments in Olympic history. Derek Redmond, a man from Britain, had a dream all his life of winning a gold medal in the 400-meter race. He had worked hard to get to the Olympics, and his dream was within reach. He was in the semifinals and was running the race of his life. He could see the finish line just ahead as he rounded the final turn and suddenly felt a sharp pain in his back of his leg, and he fell on the track with a torn muscle in his right leg. The story doesn't end there. A medical attendant ran towards him, and Derek struggled to his feet, and he started to hop towards the finish line on one foot in an attempt to finish the race. Suddenly, a large man came out of the stands, pushed aside a security guard, and ran to Derek's side. It was his father. You don't have to do this, he told his son. Yes, I do, said Derek. Well, then, said his father, we're going to finish this race together, and they did. They stayed in his lane, and he went all the way to the end. At first, the crowd watched in silence, and then they rose to their feet and cheered and wept. He didn't win the medal that day, but he walked away with an incredible memory of a loving father, and he finished the race. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, it tells us as Christians, that's a lot like how we are running the race. We're going to have ups and downs and struggles, and we're going to face obstacles, and there's going to be times we hurt and be discouraged. But that great cloud of witnesses is there to cheer us on. We need to be reminded that as they're cheering us on, that we need to keep enduring. That as Satan throws his fiery darts at us and temptation, there is going to be pain. But we also need to look to the Savior. We look to the Savior who is cheering us as well and has given us an example. But more than an example, he has given us an offer of salvation. And he's rooting for us. And so we need to keep our eyes on him. Church, we can finish the Christian race. We don't have to follow the norms of society. We don't have to give in to the temptations. We don't have to do what everyone else is doing. As Paul reminds us, we can finish like him in 2 Timothy 2, verses 4 and 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. We can say that too. This morning, are you in the race? Have you confessed your faith and repented of your sins and put Christ on in baptism? Have you done that? Are you continuing in the race once you have been baptized? And are you living in such a way that you can be able to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant? We can do it. And we can do it together. And we can do it with God's help. If you need an invitation, we invite you to come as we stand, as we sing.